Hey, everybody, I'm Chris Fafalius, and I'm the producer of Krista Makes a Podcast and the host of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
And I'm Matt Kelly, host of Horror Movie Night and the producer slash the head of content for the Geekscape Podcasting Network.
Between the two of us, we have, believe it or not, 25 years of podcasting experience, and we want to help you start your own podcast.
We know podcasting, and we want to share that knowledge with you.
So whether you're new to podcasting or you want some feedback on your currently active podcast, we want to help.
Or perhaps you're just overwhelmed with all of the editing work. Well, we can help you with that also.
You can check out our website at weknowpodcasting.com for more information.
We're excited to help your podcasting dreams become a reality. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night. This week, we are talking about Bride of Chucky, which was kind of picked by Brian, but not fully picked by Brian. Let me give you a quick breakdown, and then we'll let Brian talk about it. Brian had picked a different movie, which really the biggest appeal of the movie was that he owned it and needed an excuse to watch it. But then he realized that he had boxed up all of his DVDs already for his move. So, like, the one advantage of that pick didn't really exist. And earlier, Scott was saying that he's been holding off on watching Bride of Chucky for waiting for one of us to pick it. So it seemed like a prime opportunity to give Brian a total layup pick with Bride of Chucky. Brian, I know that Bride of Chucky is something you would have picked eventually. So how about you let us know the reasons why you would have picked
it? I would have picked it because I think it was I think it was the turning point in Child's Play. It was the right move. You know, they finally realized, like, a killer doll is kind of laughable, you know? So let's kind of focus more on the dark comedy aspect as opposed to, like, the horror aspect. I think this is the best Chucky movie, without a doubt.
I always bounce back and forth between this. It's definitely in my top two. It's always bouncing between this and Part Two for me. But it just depends on what mood I'm in. If I'm in the mood to, like, enjoy what is a very early example of, like, well, not a very early, we've had earlier examples, but for the time period, a good, like, meta horror, like taking that Scream set out with their meta horror and applying it to a pre-existing character, like, I think that Bride of Chucky made the smoothest transition into doing that. And I do think that some of the jokes still are really funny, some intentionally and some unintentionally. Like, I don't know. Man, I just blanked on his name. I don't want to say the wrong name because it sounds like it's almost the same as a guy that I went to high school with. But David M., I can't remember his last name right now. I don't know him personally, but I can't imagine that he wrote a line like, "Pooh, something really smells back here," and not intended it to be kind of comical in the way that it was said and delivered. Like, it's such a ridiculous line for someone to yell "poo" in their teenage years.
What I do love about the intro of this movie is when they made this movie, I feel like it was still a possibility to have the ultimate battle between Freddy, Jason, Chucky, and Ash. Because they had Freddy's glove, they had Jason's mask, Mike Myers' mask, and they also had a deer head on top of the locker, which I think was for Evil Dead.
That locker scene is a very entertaining, like, wink and nod to just being like, yeah, we know what we are.
Yeah, but we're all in the same universe.
Yeah, but it's just so funny because, like, how did they get the rights to do that? Because Compass Pictures International is notoriously, well, maybe they weren't back in the, was this 99?
I think it was 97.
Compass Pictures International now is notorious for being complete sticklers about, you know, their property in Michael Myers. Maybe they were running out of money in 97. Well, I think 96 was Halloween 6, right?
No, this would have been right at the time of Halloween H2O. So I think everybody was just on the
H2O was 2000 or was 98 though, wasn't it?
Oh, then maybe this was also 98.
Bride of Chucky is 98.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was definitely in middle school when Bride of Chucky dropped.
H2O is 98 as well.
Crisis averted.
Well, also, they're talking about, Tiffany goes, I'm sorry that it took a decade to find you. Yeah. So I'm guessing that Child's Play was 88.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, so this was
also 88, which I did. I really liked that little bit of world building there, like where it kind of grounded with such an absurd concept and really said, okay, it's 10 years. We're going to be very on the nose about that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, and I think that, like, it did its job of, like, they bring it up a bunch of times anyway, but, you know, it is, like, introducing Chucky to the 90s, essentially. Like I like that he's just, like, so stuck in his ways. And that leads to a lot of the funny, like, I love the idea that, like, Tiffany is just, like, yeah, stabbing doesn't do anything for me anymore. You got to get really creative with the kills these days. Yeah. And it's, like, such a wink and nod to, like, every horror person watching a slasher movie where it's, like, yeah, I'm kind of over just the stabby stab. I need you to do something crazy.
Yeah, and also it's really funny because Alexis Arquette plays Chucky's first kill of the movie, and they're like, oh, that's so lame. Like, isn't that – it's so 80s or something like that. I think – I can't remember exactly what they said, but it was just a funny little – I do like the wink and the nod. Now, I've said it before. I'll say it again. This was the first watch that I've had of this movie since 1999. I watched this movie on VHS – 1999 and never, and I didn't even remember that Katherine Heigl was in it. I didn't remember that John Ritter was in it. You know, like, all I knew was that it was Jennifer Tilly. You know, it's okay. It's not like something that I would seek out on a regular basis, but I do think that it deserves a lot of the cult status that it has.
I think the other thing that's really funny about this movie is the introduction of Jennifer Tilly into the movie, because I mean, sure, I'm sure she gets decent enough paychecks from it, but, like, if Seed of Chucky teaches me anything, it's that she actually has a lot of fun doing these movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because Seed of Chucky has the ongoing joke where you find out that the character Tiffany is a giant Jennifer Tilly fan.
Mm-hmm.
I love when we have these people, especially women, because, like, for better or for worse, mostly for worse, horror is a really male-dominated, hyper-macho, masculine kind of genre, right? So when we have women that are, like, especially women that are older than us, that are, like, into it, they really are, like, obvious horror enthusiasts. And the two that come to mind now, I mean, obviously Jennifer Tilly, and then the other one that really comes to mind that you'd never think is Lisa Loeb, you know, like,
yeah.
So funny to me. I love that.
There's a lot of things I like. The thing that always sticks out in my mind, and I'm sure Brian is going to agree with this, but, like, I can't listen to Living Dead Girl and not think of the opening of this movie. Like, it is, I know I had already known the song because, like, Hellbilly Deluxe had been out. And, like, that record was, like, a big record between me and my middle school friends.
Though. It was every. I didn't have a copy of it. I didn't need to have a copy of it because everyone else in school had a copy of it.
Yeah, but, like, I remember us renting this movie because we didn't get to see it in theater. So we rented it maybe a year later. And when that started playing, we were just like, fuck, this movie's amazing.
I got two zombies in this movie. We got Rob Zombie and White Zombie.
Dude, one of my notes is just, I don't know why, but Chucky rocking out to Thunder Kiss is so charming to me. Where he's, because it's so bad with the little puppet headbang while he's got the devil horns up.
Speaking of metal, there's something I've been thinking about, and I don't know why, but it's so fascinating to me. Everyone talks about, like, the Stanford Prison Experiment and, like, how insane that outcome was, but, like, no one talks about how insane the experiment when we took all of, like, metal's biggest stars, put them in a band called Probot to see what would happen, and somehow it sounded like a high school shitty metal band.
Man, I remember when fucking Probot, that is a deep cut.
It's because, a deep cut, like, and they produced one good song, and it was the song with Lemmy that just sounded like any other Motorhead song.
Yeah, shake your blood.
I remember Mario telling me, like, oh, this band Probot, it's a super group, blah, blah, blah. I was like, that sounds sweet. Burn me a copy of the CD. He did, and I was like, I think that I listened to it once and I threw it away.
Yes, it's so bad.
It's a prime example that not everything David Grohl does is gold.
So speaking of music, I got to talk to you guys about Graham Revell's composition work, because he's the composer for this movie. But and I was like, oh, that name's really familiar. What else do I know
Idle Hands.
From?
He did the Idle Hands theme.
Uh-huh. Right. But that's also what's so funny is that I went and looked at his Wikipedia. And let me just give you a slice. I'm just going to go with the horror movies that you guys would know that he's done. I'm going to start with the first one, 1990, Child's Play 2.
Nice.
And then he did People Under the Stairs, did The Crow in 94. He did Street Fighter in 94. He did Tank Girl in 95, Basketball Diaries. He did Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, From Dusk Till Dawn, The Craft, the Crow, City of Angels. Spawn, he did Bride of Chucky in 98.
He's kind of low-key. He deserves more credit, man. He's been behind a lot of big movies.
Yeah, and he's like making he goes really weird in the 2000s with Pitch Black, Titan A.E., Red Planet, Blow. He did the Daredevil movie. He did Freddy vs. Jason. He did Open Water, Chronicles of Riddick, Assault on Precinct 13, Sin City. He did the Fog remake. He did Aeon Flux. So a lot of video game movies. The last thing that he did that I know of, that I recognize, is like Riddick. And that's not everything he's done. That's just stuff that I recognize that would be of note on our show.
So two things I'll bring up. Thing number one, Scott, Ichabod Crane covered
yep.
Call Me, correct?
Yep, we did. And I
was that
like,
because of this? Because I thought
no.
that the theme was songs in movies, and
it
I think I
was.
Always just assumed it was because of Bride of Chucky. And I think we've
no.
had this conversation before, but I forget what Call Me's in that
it
led
was
to
an
that
American
thing.
Gigolo.
Okay.
That song. So the whole EP was called Rot Your Brain because it was songs from movies and TV. I literally got the idea for that EP's concept because I heard Call Me in the mall. And I was like, I haven't thought about this song in like a decade. This song is such a banger. And I just started messing with it. And that is one of my favorite covers that I've ever done. Like, it just translated so well. I could do another cover of Call Me for a future horrors release because of Bride of Chucky.
Yeah. Well, and that's so the funny thing with Call Me is that the first time we ever spoke, you sent me the Rot Your Brain EP.
Yeah.
To hear
true.
The cover of Call Me. And that's why I was just like, hey, it was for horror stuff. It has to be for Bride of Chucky. Because I always, to me, I feel like it's iconically used in this movie. Like, it's like, I don't know. It's a hell of a lot better than whatever the fuck that Patsy Cline crazy cover is that's in the middle of this.
Yeah. I mean, why didn't they just get the original? Because that's like such, now that's an iconic song
that's
that they should have had for Jennifer Tilly. Well, I mean, anything Patsy Cline did is phenomenal. But like, they should have gotten the original if they had the money.
All of this happens pretty much in the first like 20 minutes. The only other big thing I want to talk about in the first couple minutes that I think is really, really funny, and we've talked about this first kill, Chucky rips the lip ring out, which just made me never want to have a pierced lip. But
Love, you were thinking about it anyway, whiner.
Yeah. But I love that they're just having this conversation while Chucky's sitting on a pillow. And you just hear the sounds of suffocation and struggle in the background, but it's never addressed. Like, they just keep having their regular, like, hey, how have you been? It's been a while. So I'm a doll. That's weird, right? Like, yeah, there's definitely, I think that the movie follows a good tone. It could have gone too extreme to one end or the other. And I think it played the tone well enough. One of the lines that I always remember being charming in this was, when they kill John Ritter, they shoot all the nails in his face, and Chucky stares at him for a couple seconds. He's like, I don't know why this feels so familiar to me. And it's just a Pinhead reference. But like, as a middle schooler, I was like, ah, Chucky's amazing. But there are some things that don't hold up too, like the CGI glass falling on a bed.
You know, we've seen way worse CGI in the last 6 months, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
You know, it didn't bother me that much, and I'm usually the first person to bitch about CGI in these things.
Yeah, I think the CGI glass and their friend David getting just destroyed by a 18-wheeler are the
Ooh,
two things where
bad.
The CGI
that
just
really
does
bad.
Not look good.
So I want you to take a clip of him pulling the gun on them in the car, and if you can insert it in this episode, because it may be the worst acting I've seen on this show thus far. All three of them. He's like, don't move. He's like, what are you doing, man? Dave, it's us. Marvin, Marvin Berry.
Yeah, I don't need to pull the audio clip. That was it. Perfect. Note for note.
Yeah, Matt's just trying to find an excuse not to do that extra work for you.
I just like this gag in general. But I love a good TV flipping through channels foreshadowing in a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Jennifer Tilly in the tub and like every channel's like basically talking about murder. And then she lands on Bride of Frankenstein. And I actually do think that the shot of the TV while she's being electrocuted, like it's such a good juxtaposition of a kill with that TV like floating up with the screaming bride as she's being electrocuted and screaming simultaneously. And this is the guy who later went on to do Freddy versus Jason, but he did The Bride with White Hair. And there is a little bit of like that, you know, when you watch like Asian cinema, there is a lot of like weird stuff. Like I think of like something like Houseu, where like Houseu's a crazy movie, but like the visual compositions of stuff are very thought out. And you can almost see that applied in certain scenes in Bride of Chucky, which I think is really, really cool.
Yeah, and I bouncing off of that, like I think that while I don't love the pacing of this movie, and I would say, like, personally, I would be more likely to rewatch Child's Play 2 than Bride of Chucky, strictly due to the fact that it's, I mean, not that it's significantly more entertaining, but rather the pacing, I just think
it moves so quick.
And Katherine Heigl is just such a fucking terrible actor. So like that's really what kind of makes it difficult for me to truly love this flick. But I think that it's a really good looking movie. And maybe that's also because we were just talking about this with Disturbing Behavior, like that late 90s look is just, it's like really slick and it's really, really high quality. And it just like that heavy saturation, really dark shadows. I don't know. I really like that look. And so any movie from the late 90s that looks good, I can get down with.
It's comfort food. It's like, it's cinematic comfort food. The only other line that I had written down that I thought was worth noting, and it's the other super, super meta line, but it's after Chucky and Tiffany finally reveal themselves to these two kids, and they're basically forcing them. They kill some old couple in an RV, and they've stolen an RV to get to the graveyard in New Jersey. And they're like, so what happened to you exactly? And Chucky goes, it's kind of a long story. To be honest, if it was a movie, it would take about 3 or 4 sequels to truly give it justice.
Yep.
I love it. The other thing that's weird in this movie, and I mean, there's no other way to do it, but when you have the entire movie, like the entire movie being these animatronic puppets, when you do the wide shot where it's clearly two little people in costumes fighting with shovels, it is very jarring to cut to that shot.
Oh, yeah. I noticed that. Like hitting the like the hood of the car, like when you push her in the hood of the car, I'm like, they are so much taller than those dolls.
I thought you were going to talk about the fucking scene.
Oh, no, I mean that's classic. We got there before Team America.
Yeah,
it's definitely a. That was a line that I remember my friends used to quote all the time, where she's like, "You got a rubber?" He's like, "Baby, I'm made of rubber," and she's like, "You're made of plastic."
That's my kind of humor, though. Like, I love super literal jokes, and it's so dumb.
Well, and then it ends crazy. Like, it leads into what would be Seed of Chucky, but like, it took so long for Seed of Chucky to happen that I was like, for a long time, I was like, that's a really weird way to end this franchise.
Like, how long was it between them?
I feel like it was like at least 5 years. Like, it was too long for a movie that clearly had a setup to a sequel, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and the sequel is very odd as a follow-up. Like, it works, but I would say out of all the continuity, that sequel is the weirdest.
Yeah, Seed of Chucky was 2004, so we're looking at 6 years after this one came out.
Eesh.
I mean, that was Bride of Chucky.
Kathy and Jimmy in here?
I have no clue, but they talk about it on the commentary track where they're just like, I think it was something like she was filming a movie nearby and she was friends with somebody and they were just like, hey, you want to just do a quick cameo as a cleaning lady? And she was like, all right.
So weird.
Showed up, took her like half a day, I guess, to like get into makeup, come in, shoot her scene and go.
Dude, when she came in, though, I was like that Leonardo DiCaprio meme from fucking.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk double features. Brian, this was your pick. What double feature are you going to put this with?
Fuck, man. It's very weird how I went to this, but I would double feature it with Serial Mom.
Okay.
And both dark comedies. And even though we're talking Bride of Chucky, John Waters makes a cameo in the sequel to Bride of Chucky, who then went on to make Serial Mom.
Serial Mom. Maybe we'll talk
Although
about
he made
soon.
It prior, so not yeah. then went on to make, you
whatever,
know what I mean?
Whatever. We get it. You know what, Scott, I'm going to give you a chance to steal mine just in case.
No, I want you to go because I feel like mine is as low-hanging fruit.
Okay, so I think that Bride of Chucky is the second best turning your horror franchise super meta mid-franchise, but I think the best one is still Jason Lives, Nightmare on Elm Street 6. Oh my God.
What the
Jason
fuck
Lives
was that?
Jason Lives, Friday the 13th, Part 6, which I still think is the best of like the, hey, in the middle of this franchise, we're just going to be really meta about the fact that there's been 6 of these fucking things.
So what did you want to be when you grew up?
Yeah. All right, Scott, did I take your low hanging fruit? Or
no,
did you,
no, okay. Not at all. I mean, and I think that, yeah, I'm going to go with it. So because I was originally going to be like, oh, Bride of Reanimator, because it's so much fun.
Yeah.
I absolutely love Bride of Reanimator. It's low-hanging fruit, though, because it's got the Bride of in the title, right? But then I was thinking maybe Return of the Living Dead 3. But Return of the Living Dead 3 is really bleak. Like,
yeah.
I love it, but it is really bleak. So I think that if I'm gonna be doing a true double feature, it's going to have to be 2 upbeat movies.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. All right, Brian, something that you watched, thought about, read, whatever, that you want to promote.
Oh, that I want to promote. Oh,
or talk
shit.
About, whatever. Or it could be shit on, whatever.
No, I'm watching Tom and Jerry. It's been about four tries thus far.
Fucking what?
That bad?
No, it's fine. Like, it's just, I want to watch it, and I don't know why. And then, like, I tried to explain it to Jade, because she was giving me the side eye while I was watching it. And I, like, used my words wrong. I'm like, I'm only watching it because it's free. She's like, we have so many streaming services. There's so many movies you can watch because they're free. I'm like, no, but it's in theaters and it's free for the month. Just leave me alone! But
wait,
I do
wait,
have...
wait. Tom and Jerry, like, the cartoon, right? We're talking
about
the
cartoon.
Yeah,
they made a movie.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, it's on HBO Max for the next month. But I do have to... I have to say, like I said, I'm rewatching the Marvel movies, and I made a comment about it doesn't, like, anytime you use CGI, you're putting like a expiration date. I think 20 years from now, people will watch Doctor Strange and be amazed by it personally.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
I think that
oh,
is the
Doctor
anomaly.
I love Doctor Strange so much.
Yeah.
We just watched it last night. I'm like, this is so fucking cool to watch.
Well, you know, I think that there are some scenes that are a little goofy, like just a little bit with the human body stuff, but like, no, I mean, like the human body in the CGI is always the hardest thing, in my opinion,
for
them to get right. But like, man, all the other shit is so perfect, like the sigils, like the mystical signs that are in the air when he does, you know, cast spells and stuff like that. That I agree with you. 20 years from now, that's still gonna look good.
Yeah,
I will eat my words.
I just can't believe, like, I feel like I just started this Marvel endeavor like a week ago, and it's like I have 4 movies left.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Dude,
to me,
they fly, because you know what it is, it's that the good to bad ratio is very leaning towards good.
Yeah, it's
so
high.
Like, like, it's not like, again, we talked about like watching the like Friday the 13th movies, where it's like, yeah, that ratio is like at best down the middle. Like,
yeah,
so like, but like, when it's like, okay, you got to suffer through like a couple like Dark World Thor movies, but like on the whole, most of them you're like, yeah, I'd rewatch that again, whatever, that was fun. So I'm going to keep mine short because I still have like 3 episodes left. As I've been getting ready to move out, my parents and I have been watching a show that like was on Amazon Prime like 7 years ago, and I never got around to watching it, called Red Oaks, that someone had told me to check out. And they were just like, you'll love it. It's basically like Caddyshack, the TV show. That's a pretty fair assessment. It's written by David Gordon Green, who did like Snow Angels and Pineapple Express and a bunch of other, like, he has a weird blend of doing indie darling movies as well as like just mainstream stoner comedies. But yeah, it's about a kid. It's the 80s, and he's hired to be like the tennis pro at this fancy country club. And it just as the hijinks of him, like, getting stoned with his friends at the country club and, like, dating, you know, the daughter of, like, the president of the country club. And it really hits all of the Caddyshack beats while, A, being not nearly as, like, outdated in its humor, but also, like, it is very much uniquely its own thing, and it actually has a little bit more of what I think Caddyshack want it to be. From reading, like, the making of, they wanted Caddyshack to really be a true coming-of-age story about, like, a kid who, like, grows as a person. And then in the edit, the studio was like, just show all of the Chevy Chase and big-name stars, and really, like, trim down the actual storyline of the main character that starts and ends the movie. He kind of doesn't exist throughout, like, two-thirds
of that. Wow,
that
explains a lot about that movie.
Yeah, like, because think about it. That movie begins with Danny Noonan waking up and going to the country club, and then Noonan is barely in the movie until the end when he saves the day at the golf course.
Yeah. I mean, that explains so much about it. And, I mean, I don't like Caddyshack.
Yeah.
But also, I fucking hate anything with Chevy Chase in it because he's...
He's a piece of shit. But yeah. Actually, I was telling Brian, I was reading a book called Wild and Crazy Guys about, like, that whole comedy scene, and they do not even attempt to paint Chevy Chase in a positive light, even in that book, which is supposed to be about how his whole generation, like, changed comedy. And, like, every chance that they get, they're just like, yeah, Chevy Chase is kind of a piece of shit. Anyway, let's talk about Dan Aykroyd.
Doug Kenny hated it, too. He hated Caddyshack.
All right, Scott, what did you watch that you want to talk about so Brian can go look at a house?
I just want to say I've been listening to a really good death metal album. And I don't usually pimp metal on the show very often because most of it is very fly by night now. I've heard everything a million times, but I really like this band called Summoning the Lich. I think they're from Michigan. They are really good. I would just call them, like, death metal, but they have some, like, deathcore elements and some kind of melodic metalcore elements too. The cool thing that I really like about them is that they play in standard tuning, which is very, very rare. I mean, I don't even play in standard tuning. I play in, you know, drop C, and they play in E standard, apparently. So I think that's pretty cool because it's always fun to find a band that can make, like, aggressive and heavy music without having ultra low tuned guitars. But the record is called United in Chaos. It just came out maybe a couple weeks ago at this point, and it's really good. Highly recommend anybody give it a listen. And you know what would be great is if someone tells them that we talked about them, like that time that I was talking about FKU on the show, and then they came and they were like, hey, thanks for the shout out on the episode, because that would be the tits. Thanks, everybody.
All right, well, that was Bride of Chucky, as picked by Brian, from 1998, as we discovered in the middle of recording this episode. It was very important that we know that information. So what are we going to talk about next week? I'm glad you asked, and I'm definitely not vetting for time while I pull up the list to find out what we're going to talk about next week. Why would I do that? That's insane. But while I'm definitely not doing that, you should also hit up our Patreon at patreon.com/HMNpodcast, where you can get all of your good podcasting needs and desires. Anyway, what I was saying was that Brian made a reference to the movie that we're going to be talking about next week. So just strap in, get yourself some breakfast before you record, guys. Can I suggest any type of cereal would be good, and we will be back.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.